Greetings, and welcome to Worship with Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a beautiful day it is here in Nashville, right here at 2200 West End Avenue. I'm so glad to welcome you to this time of worship together, whether you are in Nashville, across the country, or across the world. The Spirit unites us in worship this morning, and we are so glad to be with you. I would invite you, as you get settled in for this time of worship, to register your attendance and let us know that you're participating in worship with us. There should be a link alongside the video in the chat area. My understanding is on live stream, you have to click and copy that link and put it into your browser so that it will take you to that form on the website. But we'd love to know that you were here. Any prayer concerns that you have, we would appreciate knowing that. A few announcements as we gather this morning. Next Sunday, we have our outdoor Vespers services. We had to reschedule them from last week because the weather didn't cooperate, but we are going to do a 5 o'clock and a 6:30 Vesper service out on the West Lawn, and we would appreciate your reservations if you could let us know that you'd like to be here, because we have to limit our numbers. We'll be wearing masks and remaining physically distant, but we plan to open up the windows of the sanctuary so that we can hear the organ and spend some time in worship and prayer and fellowship together. Also, next Sunday at 11 o'clock, we will begin a new members class. So if you've been worshiping with us and praying about perhaps joining officially as a member of West End, that class will be over Zoom at 11 o'clock every Sunday. And you can register by going to westendumc.com/membership. And that will lead you right to the place where you can let Erin Racine know that you'll be joining her in that class. And speaking of the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday mornings, it is my joy to share with you the wonderful news that we will have our first in-person worship service on Sunday, September 20th at 11 o'clock. And we are, all of us who worship here in the sanctuary on Sundays, are really looking forward to seeing some of your faces out in the pews. We will, of course, ask for registration so that we can limit our numbers. And we need lots of volunteers to help out in the parking lot, to help people know the flow of traffic and where to go and how to find their seats and all of those things. But all that information will be coming to you. And I'm just more excited than I could say that we can move forward in this new direction. So that's September 20th at 11 o'clock and going forward. Our Habitat work is also going forward this fall. You can find lots of information about that in our Friday email and also on our website. But we have two Saturdays this fall that we will be helping provide volunteers, the 26th of September and the 10th of October. And Habitat is being very careful to observe proper protocols around COVID, so it will be well done. But we do ask that if you are in an at-risk health category, that maybe this would be a year you would not participate, and others will be able to come forward and participate. And hopefully this time next year we'll be back to normal. Finally, every month when we gather at the communion table, we have a special communion offering. And this month's communion offering is for the Wesley Foundations here in Nashville. And we have a video that we'd like to share with you so you can learn more about those important ministries with college students.
I am an international student, and so I really struggled to find a community. I was just looking for any sort of community. But because I was raised in the church as a pastor's child, the only place I knew where to find that was in a church or like in a faith community.
Growing up in Sunday school, you're kind of told what to think, and you're told this scripture means this, this verse means that. It's more like they're kind of almost like lecturing you than guiding you. I trust something a lot more if I understand why, or I'm kind of reaching that conclusion on my own.
I'm an associate pastor at West End for young adults, but I'm also here on Vanderbilt's campus as the director of the Wesley Fellowship. Wesley Fellowships provide a place for students to have deep community, meaningful connections, and a place to grow spiritually. More generosity today will go and support the ministries at Vanderbilt, Belmont, Fisk, and TSU Wesley. Each of these Wesleys are reaching out to students in a new, uncharted territory to connect with them and help them grow in their faith. Thank you so much for your support.
Jesus invites us to become like children. Jesus invites us to welcome children in his name.
When we welcome children, we welcome Christ.
Jesus searches for one who is lost.
Jesus rejoices when the lost has been found.
Let us worship our God who welcomes and cares for all.
Let us rejoice and give thanks.
Let us continue to worship God as we confess our sins, that we may receive the forgiveness made possible through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the other 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Here is that I want to spend a special moment with the children. So I'd love to invite you to come back a little bit closer to your screens and spend just a moment with me as we get ready to think a little bit more about the scripture we've just heard. One of the things that I've really enjoyed doing over the past few weeks and months are puzzles. I absolutely love puzzles. My husband gave me this one for my birthday in August, and I've already finished it, and I'm getting ready to give it to Pastor Stacy so she can take it home and work on it. One thing happened, though, while I was doing this puzzle. I was so excited because I was getting to the end. I was finishing the puzzle, and I had every piece in except for one. There was one piece missing from the puzzle. And I looked everywhere on the table, and I couldn't find it. And I thought, uh-oh, what if it fell on the floor and my dog got it? She has a habit of chewing on things that fall off the table, thinking it's food. And that wouldn't be good for her tummy. But I kept looking and kept looking, and I finally found it on the floor. And I was so excited, because with this one last piece, the whole puzzle was complete. It was finished. That's the thing about a puzzle. Even if it's missing one piece, it's not complete. Jesus tells a story today that's kind of like that. He wants us to know that all of us are part of God's family. We're part of one big puzzle. And if just one person is missing or one person is hurting, it matters to God. And God is so excited to find the one piece that's missing. And God wants us, as the people of God, to help God look for people who are hurting, who are lost, who need extra love. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that you connect us all in your family. Thank you for reminding us that when even one is hurting, when even one is lost, we're not complete. We need each other. So help us to join you in looking for the lost. And help us to know that when we feel lonely, when we feel lost, you and your people are looking for us too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have this parable that Jesus tells this morning about the shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus says, "What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? What do you think? What do you think?" I'm not so sure what I think. I think this shepherd sounds a little foolish. Sounds like he may not be the most savvy businessman. It doesn't say that he would leave the 99 with a partner to look after, or that he would leave the 99 gated up in a pen to make sure they didn't wander off. He just says he leaves the 99 on the mountain and goes looking for the one. It seems to me that if this shepherd were to reach his destination with 99 out of 100 sheep, that's not so bad. I mean, when I was in school, if I got a 99 on a test, that was still an A+. But this shepherd isn't like that. And I wonder if those disciples, as they heard Jesus tell this story, thought that that shepherd was a little foolish, that it seemed silly to go after one when you had 99. Maybe Jesus was intentionally trying to provoke these disciples to think in a different way. Maybe he's trying to teach them how the kingdom of God is so radically different from the world. I have to say, there's something about this teaching that disturbs me a little bit. Not only does it not quite make sense, it makes me uncomfortable. Especially when Jesus goes on to say, that shepherd rejoices more over one sheep who has been found than over all the 99 who never went astray. You see, I think Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that at the very heart of the gospel, at the very heart of God, is this special place for the lost, for the least, for the marginalized, for the oppressed, for the children, for the ones who are left out by the world. Jesus teaches parable after parable that gets at this truth. And when he goes to his synagogue in Nazareth and preaches his first sermon, he reads from the book of Isaiah, words that we will hear in just a few moments in our communion liturgy, where Jesus announces, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed." Again and again, Jesus sends this message that God is going on to the margins. God is looking for the least and the lost, the poor and the oppressed. But something about that makes me a little uncomfortable. What about the 99? What about those who seem to be left behind by this shepherd while he goes searching for the lost one? Because you see, that's where I place myself. Is among those sort of run-of-the-mill sheep who never really went astray that far. You know, I was born and raised in the church. I've had kind of a normal pathway. I'm not a marginalized group in our culture. For the most part, throughout my life, I've had what I needed and more. What about me? Does God notice me? Does God also include me? I think it's human nature for us to chafe against this teaching of the gospel, and for us to wonder about the heart of God and what it means for those of us who may not be lost or least or oppressed. What is it that Jesus is trying to say? It is a normal human reaction. And I can feel it in myself, and I can sense it among us at times. Maybe you've had that experience in your family when there's one member of the family who is especially needy, struggling with an illness or addiction or going through a hard time, and that person seems to get so much more of the attention in the family. And you have that sense of, what about me? Or maybe we feel that sometimes in the life of the congregation, when over the past 20 years especially, this congregation has been intentionally inclusive of our LGBTQ friends. And we have to continue to fight that fight because they are the one group that is named by our church policy as not being fully included. And yet sometimes there may be that feeling among others that, well, why do we always talk about that? Why is that particular group of folks among us highlighted and special? Because perhaps they are impressed in a unique way. They are not yet included in the flock in an equal way that I am. Or out in our culture right now, there is a lot of focus on our neighbors and friends and family members of color. And there may be a sense of, well, why do we talk about that so much? Why is that particular group highlighted right now? Perhaps because they are in a unique place of pain, suffering under systemic racism that I can't understand. And so they are being lifted up and listened to in a particular way, sought after, in order to be included and heard more fully. But it's an understandable reaction. If we think that others are getting attention and love and compassion in ways that perhaps I'm not or others are not. And so this difficult teaching of Jesus invites us to name and notice those feelings and then to explore them. There's an invitation always from Jesus into deeper love and deeper understanding. One of the invitations I hear in this story of Jesus is to remember what it feels like to be lost. No matter who you are, no matter what your experience of life has been, at some point in your life, I have no doubt you have felt lost. I know I have. Whether you have felt cut off from God because of grief or depression or a painful break in a relationship or financial stress and anxiety, whatever it may be, I believe that each and every one of us can talk about our own experiences of being lost. And I hope that every single person who can hear my voice right now can also remember what it feels like to be found. Whether in an experience of prayer, or sitting in a sanctuary worshiping, or having a friend call you or come by or check on you, what it feels like to know that someone sees you and has made an effort to come and find you and bring you home. And so we remember what it feels like to be lost and found. And by remembering, that deepens our compassion and gives us deeper empathy for those who are currently feeling lost and least and left out and forgotten. The story invites us also to think about our shepherd. You know, I want to be part of a flock with a shepherd like this, who's going to notice, who's going to look out and see that even though there are 99, there's one who's missing. And a shepherd who's going to go out and not stop until that one little sheep is found. I don't think I want to be part of a flock with a shepherd who's willing to keep on going and leave one behind. 99 is good enough. What if that lamb is me? No, my friends, it is a privilege and a joy to be part of a flock that has a shepherd like this, who knows us by name and will not stop until each one of us is found. Finally, the invitation I hear in this story is an invitation to be more like this shepherd and to participate in the work that the shepherd is doing. Not to be so worried about whether I'm being remembered or I'm being appreciated, but to be willing and joyful in joining that work of finding others, seeking out the lost, the least, the last, the poor, the oppressed, in whatever way we are called to do that, and to be part of that restoring work of bringing all of God's family to an equal place at the table. What joyful work that is. And so when we hear Jesus say that the shepherd rejoices over one lost sheep that is found more than the 99 who never went astray, we won't be offended by that. But we'll laugh with joy and say, yes, we get it. I was the one who was found once, and boy, was that a great party. And now I get to help and throw another party for someone else who's been lost and is now found. That's who we're called to be as the church, my friends. We are those who are throwing a great party, helping Christ to host this wonderful feast, and we get the privilege of going out with joy to find those who don't know they have a place at the table. come. Join me at the table this morning. Join me at the party. Because we want to find the lost. We want to celebrate this table where everyone is included. Amen.
And now will you rise in body and spirit as we affirm our faith using number 883, a statement of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. We offer our sympathy this morning to the family of Mary Evelyn Story, who passed away on August 30th. A private memorial service will be held at a later date. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and our silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our shepherd who guards us, you love us so much as to go to the ends of the world to rescue and redeem us. Who are we that you are mindful of us? And why are we worthy? We are but sheep, and yet you desire us to be whole and with our flock. And we give you thanks for your love and the ways that you gently bring us back to you. We ask a special blessing this Labor Day weekend over those who labor. We pray for farmers, for day laborers, truck drivers, grocery store workers who bring food to our tables. We pray for those who own and lead companies. Guide them to make decisions that are in the best interest of human flourishing and your will. We especially pray for them as they make decisions about reopening and safety during the pandemic. We lift up frontline workers, including those who serve in healthcare. Protect them, watch over them, bring them home safely each day. We pray for those who have been furloughed or have lost jobs. Be with them in their search for employment and provide means for their families to thrive while they look for work. God, we thank you for those in the labor movement who paved a way for a fair wage to work. And God, help us to continue the work towards a day where living wage is attainable for all. God, we ask that you would be with the sick, be with those who are dying, be with those in prisons of steel bars or prisons of their own mind. Stay near to the grieving. Remind them of your constant presence. Be with those struggling with alcoholism and drug addiction. Help them, God, to remember that this work is one day at a time. As we as a country walk through difficult times, O God, call us to your vision of shalom and peace. Remind us that we do not get there without doing the hard work you've called us to do, to walk towards a day when all of human life can flourish. You call us to courage, and you call us to keep the faith as we root out our own sins, and you promise to be with us as we take the next right step. With that assurance, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and wandered far from you, you came looking for us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. If you are standing, you may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, who came to seek the lost, to comfort the afflicted, and to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, spent time with those on the margins. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, each and every one of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and all of us feast at the heavenly banquet.
and now as those who have been included in the flock of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, let us pray together the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My dear family of God, this is the body of Christ, broken and given, that we might be found, that we might have life. And this is the blood of Christ, poured out for you and for me and for all the world, that all might come to the grace offered at this table. The table is set, and I hope that where you are, you also have access to bread and juice or water or whatever it may be, and that in that bread you feel the bread of life. All are welcome at this table. As we gather around this table together virtually, we have the opportunity to bring a gift for the ministries of the Wesley Foundations in Nashville, which we learned about at the beginning of the service. As we come knowing that our God knows us by name, has sought us out, and found us. Let us join together in the feast. The body of Christ has been broken for us, and the blood of Christ has been shed for us.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. We go from this place knowing that we have a good shepherd who goes before us, beside us, and behind us. A shepherd who will come to find us and seek us when we are lost, and who will rejoice with us as we go from this place to seek and find the lost in his name. Amen.